Welcome to the Romerica Refounded Podcast. I'm your host, the Aussie Man, and today I am joined here with Noka slash Tulsa, whatever you want to call him, MREF Libertarian, the founder of Refounded, Luke and some guns, and Pineapple for Liberty. So, Luke, you want to start us off?
Yeah, absolutely, Aussie. So tonight we're going to do an intro podcast, go over what Refounded is, why we're all here. To start off, a lot of us started out in the Boogaloo community, but recognizing a lot of the problems with the Boog, being that it's too decentralized, it lacks a lot of direction, thus America Refounded. We have a more of a hierarchy, but we're still somewhat decentralized. We believe in a lot of the same tenets, but we denounce accelerationism, we denounce any form of aggression, things like that. We differentiate ourselves, we don't look down on all of the members of the Boogaloo. That's a lot of it. You can read more in the pamphlet. We're a libertarian group. Most of us are, you know, finishing high school or in college. We stand for abolishing the drug war, police reform, things like that. Ozzy, is there anything else that needs to be said about Refounded?
Why did you want to create a group like America Refounded?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing to me was I was a big believer in the Boogaloo until after some time, a lot of those problems came to light. Namely, the acceleration was a big one. The lack of cohesion, not having people on the same page. And to me, it makes more sense for us to try and redirect the United States and try and stop any kind of civil conflict, try and push back in all the peaceful means that we have at our disposal, instead of just waiting for something terrible to happen. To me, I see the United States as sitting on the edge of a cliff right now, and there are people who are just waiting for everyone to jump off the cliff. And then my position is, well, maybe we should try and walk people away from the edge. So I see it as an answer to a movement that had really good ideas and a lot of dedication and a lot of passion, but a little shoddy on the execution. And I want to try to answer that. My big goal for us would be to bridge the gap between, you know, your decentralized libertarian militias and a group like Young Americans for Liberty. I believe that there's a space for politics, as well as, you know, showing some teeth. That's what our founders would have wanted. Exhaust all of our peaceful means for redress, but, you know, never give up your arms. So to me, Refounded is kind of a bridge between the all political movements and the kind of aimless militia work. I think that, you know, our boy Thomas Jefferson would have wanted us to find this nice middle ground, and that's what we're trying to create here.
I would also like to add that, including to bridge with people, the normal run-of-the-mill housewife is one thing, a powerhouse in this country, and they are one thing and one person or people, however you want to describe it, that if we were to bridge and connect with them, because I've seen through Twitter and just everything, there's libertarians and then there's just normal working class Americans that either have never heard of us, or they don't understand the ideology, or they just don't understand it as a whole. And I think if we were to also bridge with the normal people of this country, the middle class Americans, there will be a definite more want and need for liberty and the Libertarian Party.
Absolutely. To piggyback on that, nothing in this country has ever been done without the support of the, you know, the average suburban housewife. Not to single out that voting group, but the average person is essential to anything being done peacefully and politically in this country. So, you know, marching around with rifles at any given chance tends to scare those kinds of normal people off. And we need to build bridges with those people instead of scaring them off.
Exactly. And I also want to add, when it comes to who America Refounded is and what we're about, we are, I would like to say, a part of the Ron Paul Revolution, the new Ron Paul Revolution.
Absolutely.
And our goals are to end the endless wars and the forever wars in the Middle East and the lockdowns that have destroyed many, many families, businesses. And I think, to be fair, and I think everyone here can agree with me, it has started a mental health epidemic in this country where people have just snapped and they're going insane. They've either lost money, loved ones, family, or all three of those things. And we need that to end now.
100%. I think over the last 5 years, but over the last year especially, I think a lot of people have come to realize that they're libertarian without knowing what libertarian really is. I think most people go about their day and they don't really care what's going on in the world. They just want to, you know, go to work, feed their families, go home, watch TV. And there's nothing really wrong with that. I can't get down on someone for not being hyper involved in politics. I don't think we should need to be. But, you know, the average person doesn't really care until it affects those things. And over the last year, a lot of what the government has been doing has started to affect people. And I think they're starting to wake up and realize that they're libertarians. They just never knew it. And I think now is a perfect time for us to get involved and show people what that means.
Yes, and to piggyback off of that, one thing that I think is going to be one of the main goals going forward and forever, as long as America Refounded exists, is libertarian activism. We need to get out there and we need to show people what we can do and what this is about and what liberty can do to help others. And a perfect way of doing that and a perfect example of doing that is what we did in Columbus, Ohio for the food and supplies drive. We had people come out. Luke, you yourself went out and it was hosted by NOCA, and we helped, I think, a good, a decent chunk of homeless people in the city.
Yeah, absolutely. I think things like public works and acts of service and charity are probably some of the best ways to kind of break the ice on a political ideology, no matter what it is. If people see your symbol out there feeding and sheltering and clothing the homeless, if they see you out on a highway picking up trash that nobody else is going to pick up, things like that, people are going to associate that symbol with good work. So I think it's important for specifically our group to get out there and do acts of service like that. It's in our pamphlet even, talking about doing things like trash pickups, feeding the homeless, any other kinds of charity work. Associate your symbol with acts of good and people will see your symbol as a good thing. It's part of how the left was able to take over most of this country. You know, you always saw, you know, people out at Occupy Wall Street. People still to this day associate a lot of those symbols with, you know, fighting for the lower class people in the country. So it's a lot about associating our symbol with doing good. And the flip side of that for us being libertarians is, you know, if regular people are willing to go out there and help the homeless and pick up trash and take care of things, then maybe we don't need so much government control taking care of everything. And that's a lot of what libertarianism is about. So it serves two purposes for us. And besides that, it's the right thing to do. And we should all aspire to be the best versions of ourselves we can be, especially when we're under our banner.
And I think is definitely one of the best ways you could put it. And I would like to also say that this event that we held in Columbus, Ohio, was hosted and funded mostly by NOCA. We had other people that came in that either A, bought the merch and the funding went to NOCA, or we paid from this out of our pocket. So really, if you could, it will be linked in the description down below. Go to the America Refounded store on teespring.com and buy a shirt, buy a hoodie, buy a mask,
stickers, tumblers, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Just about anything you can imagine being sold by Teespring, we've got on there. And it's not like we're pocketing the money. Nobody in here, as poor as us little college students are, we're not pocketing the money. It all goes right back to our acts of service and things like that.
Yes, exactly. And I would like to bring NOCA to the stand and talk about this event and why he wanted to start it in the first place. So NOCA, the floor is yours.
Hi, I'm NOCA, or Tulsa, whichever one you want to call me. I got the idea probably probably a year ago, I was like, I want to do something for my community. And then Luke introduced me to AMREF, and I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity to help my community and just, you know, just strengthen my community, strengthen other communities. And so I decided, you know what, our first event should be a food drive. And everyone was like, yeah, let's do a food drive. And that's kind of how it happened.
I think it's worth noting, Noka, you're just getting out of high school now. Not to put you down, but if some kid can organize this massive food drive, and I don't know, ballpark it, how many people did we help?
I think about 25. After everyone left, we drove around and handed out more stuff.
Awesome. So one kid can go out there and, you know, provide food, clothing, other kinds of assistance to 25 other people out there who are down on their luck. If everyone stepped up and did something like that, we might have a brighter future ahead. And that's part of what America Refounded is supposed to be about. And Noka, I cannot commend you enough for the work you did in Columbus.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Ozzy, so, do we want to get to some of the frequently asked questions?
Sure, I have one more question for Noka here, and then we can get on that.
Go ahead.
So, do you have any other plans for more events like the food and supplies drive that we did in Columbus, or what you've got in mind?
Yes, so I've been thinking about doing another food drive, not anytime soon, probably be sometime next summer, or even something sooner that's less community based and more to just get all our members together and just do something. But yeah, I would like to do another food drive at some point. And anything else I can think of to help the community.
There's no shame in that. And I think doing that and more in the community-based events and even non-community-based events where we can get all our members together and still help people and still help a community and still help a town, I think that is going to be great for spreading our message and spreading what we're about and spreading what we're doing. Now, Luke, what are your thoughts on just the whole interventionalist policy that it seems like the duopoly has been doing for many, many years now, from Korea to Afghanistan to even now North Africa or Somalia or however, wherever we are? What is AMREF's position on interventionalism and interventionist policy?
Well, I think it should be said that, you know, many of our members are veterans. Many of my family members are veterans. Some of my best friends in the world are veterans. And I love our vets, which is why I want to bring them home. I don't hate war because I hate our vets or anything. I love our men and women in uniform, and I think they do us a great good, and they defend our nation. What we shouldn't be doing is sending them to go die when it isn't entirely necessary. I think a lot of the conflicts that we've had most recently have been more than unnecessary, to put it politely. And I think if it's worth the lives of our men and women in uniform, we should be certain that it's worth it. I think things like Afghanistan, and Iraq, we didn't need to be there. You know, the invasion of Iraq was, or Iraq too anyway, was based on a lie. You know, we were all told and we were all hyped. Even as a younger kid, I remember being really, really, you know, told all the time, like, oh yeah, we gotta go beat up Iraq because they've got weapons of mass destruction. And it was a lie. You know, the government lied to us so that they could send our men and women in uniform to die. And we should try and minimize that, not because we hate our soldiers or anything, but we love our vets. And we want to bring them home, and we shouldn't put them in harm's way unless we need to. I think intervening and being the world police, I don't think the world elected us to be the world police. And B, we're sending our people to die when we don't need to, you know, if, you know, American lives aren't on the line, why put them on the line? I think that's kind of the way I look at it anyway.
I have a couple screenshots here. I'm just going to read them out for you. These could be not exactly to the point accurate when it comes to the casualties of these wars. We did make a TikTok about it. I do not like that app, but I do have to post things on there because that is one of the other great ways that we can reach people outside of the Liberty Movement or in the Liberty Movement. But there were 36,560 casualties in the Korean War, 58,209 casualties in the Vietnam War, 4,586 casualties in the Iraq War, in the war in Afghanistan, 2,312 casualties. That amounts to too many. Men and women, children, have went into those wars and have died for what? What have we accomplished in these places? Yeah. Did communism stop spreading?
Not very much. Even in Vietnam and Korea, you can at least make some kind of argument for why the war was just. And, you know, it wasn't the long, drawn-out conflict that Afghanistan has been. We've been there 20 years. The children of the people who started it are going to war there. That is an occupation. That's downright imperialist. And, you know, not to sound like a filthy commie, but I don't think we should be engaging in imperialism. I think we should let people be. I think we should let people be here. I think we should let people be there. I think we should let people be everywhere. I don't think we need to be involved in everyone's day-to-day lives. Especially not when they're thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away.
I just wanted to say real quick that in Korea, we almost stopped the North Koreans who were funded by the Soviets from taking over Korea. If the Chinese didn't invade, there would be no North or South Korea. There would just be Korea. But we still went in there and we got pushed back all the way to, I think it's the
32nd parallel, I believe.
Yeah,
32nd or 38th parallel, something like that.
Yeah.
It's basically exactly where the war started. So, you know, tens of thousands of people died for, I don't know, like 400 feet of land.
Exactly. And my grandpa served in Korea. He did not die in Korea, but he died later on in life. I don't think it was anything caused by the Korean War. But still, he came home. He became a boxer, professional boxer. He did great things. Never got beat once, raised a good family, had a nice home in northern Indiana, just lived his life until the very end. He was in the part of the Korean War where I think it was the North Korean and the Chinese had American troops trapped. But then the trap got broken and they got everybody out. Barely anyone survived. I cannot remember the name of that battle. But just from what my dad told me, he went through some shit. Never talked about it. Only talked about certain things. Never talked about where he was posted. Nothing. Didn't even tell what rank he was. Fucked him up. It fucks everybody up. I mean, unless you go there, maybe in Afghanistan now, you see no conflict. You go there, you be on post of whatever base. And you go home. Be lucky that you never see combat. Because it will fuck you up. I've seen way too many people. Heard way too many stories. And I'm tired of the wars. And I think everybody here is tired of the wars.
Yeah, absolutely. To your point on, you know, generational war. I don't know that there's anyone alive today that can remember a time when the United States was not at some war somewhere in the world. And I know Roach can speak on it because I know he's got a history of vets in his family, and he went to Afghanistan and he saw horrible combat. And I'd love to get him in here on an episode to talk about his experiences if he's up to it. But no, we've been at war for generations and generations and generations, and it seems to me to be unnecessary. And even like you said, even the people who come home from combat are irreparably damaged, and it's definitely something we should stop.
Well, I'm just gonna ask this bluntly: what are America Refounded's thoughts on the ATF, the FBI, the CIA, DEA, DHS, you name it? What are our thoughts?
The ATF needs to be immediately abolished. All gun laws are an infringement on the Second Amendment right. That's a staunch fact. The ATF has been crooked since its inception. Their actions at Waco alone should have caused everyone involved to be immediately fired, probably jailed. And yet we see one of the boots on the ground there is likely going to become the director of the ATF. That entire agency needs to be abolished. Its existence is unconstitutional. As for the FBI, I am a big proponent for very, very, very small federal oversight. But I understand there are cases that cross state lines, and so you need some kind of federal force. I'm not a big fan of it, but in America's current configuration, I understand the purpose it serves. I would love to see a lot more transparency, and this goes for the CIA as well. Lying to the American public about anything should be grounds for jail immediately. Not even just expulsion from your agency and an immediate investigation into such agency. You go to jail. You lie to the American people, you go to jail. End of story. There's no ifs, ands, and or buts. And there's been many, many recorded times when the FBI has lied to the American people. That organization is also absolutely crooked. So either get us some more transparency or get out of people's lives. You got two options.
The CIA can go right into the DOD. In the ATF, fuck off. We don't need an ATF. There should never have been an ATF. Fuck them. Waco, Ruby Ridge.
Ruby Ridge is another big one.
They both should have never happened. Fast and the Furious failed. All it did was give guns to the cartels and many other people, and that was a complete fucking flop, and it did nothing at all. And yeah, everybody absolutely. That was part of Fast and Furious, Waco, Ruby Ridge, they should all be jailed, because what they did was an unconstitutional act, and did an act of war on American citizens. It's probably the best way I can put it. In Waco, they sent literal tanks. Tanks to a religious home. I'm not talking about what Koresh did, because what Koresh did with that 14-year-old girl, that was wrong. And I don't think anybody here will deny that.
Very, very wrong, but technically legal under Texas law at the time. Not agreeing with the law. I do not condone Koresh's actions, but he didn't even break the law.
But still, if you're however old Koresh was and you have sex with a kid...
Wood chipper.
Yes, wood chipper.
Wood chipper go burr.
Oh, yeah. But there were so many innocent women, men, and children that were all killed by the ATF and FBI's actions.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. Whenever someone says to me, well, you know, the ATF was justified at Waco because, you know, Koresh was banging a 14-year-old. Okay, so your justification is you want to save the children. Why then did you burn 22 children alive? It falls flat. Regardless of Koresh's actions, if you cared about the children, why'd you burn them alive? There's nothing else to be said there. You can't use that as the cop-out.
And also, when it comes to instances like Ruby Ridge, where I think the ATF tricked them into selling them a sawed-off shotgun?
The undercover informant or agent, whichever it was, pointed on the sawed-off where he wanted him to cut it off, and it was at 17 and something inches, which, for those who don't know, the NFA says it's got to be 18 inches in shotgun length, or, you know, they'll come and shoot your dog. For more information on the Ruby Ridge story, as much as I disagree with Glenn Beck on politics, he does have a really great special, and I think most of it is on YouTube now, for anyone that wants to go and look into that story if you haven't already.
I'd also like to say that the Waco TV series, which I think was either 4 to 5 or 6 episodes long, was a great depiction of before, during, and after the events of Waco. I highly recommend that show.
The Waco Netflix series was absolutely just chef's kiss. Great show. I think it did a good job of being fair. I know there's some things about the story that we want to kind of ignore, but the Waco series was fair to both sides. No matter how you slice it, the ATF was wrong. They were in the wrong. They were the most wrong, but the show does do everyone correctly.
The only thing that I honestly will intrigue about the show, which I think the actor that played Dave Chippin, wasn't he, I forget if he was the fat guy, the really fat guy.
I don't know that he was playing Dave Chipman specifically. I don't know that he was. I'd have to go and look at it, but.
Yeah, it was like at the end when they were at the bus and he was trying to break it open because there were the women and children down there with the kids. Not the actor, but like they made it look like he felt bad about what he did when he didn't. I don't know if we could show this on YouTube, but maybe in editing we could put it on screen. If not, you'll find it online. I think you have to put it on Google or DuckDuckGo or wherever you want to search it. It's like Dave Chipman Waco, and it should show the picture of him posing right by a burnt dead corpse. He is not sorry. He did not cry. That is the one thing that I will critique about the Waco Netflix series is that Dave Chipman, he did not feel any remorse.
No, I don't think any of them did. You can see that in how they handled things afterwards. You have them posing with corpses. That's not something someone remorseful does. The man who was pictured posing with a burning corpse is going to be the one enforcing gun laws. He is going to be the one coming to take your guns. I don't know that that is someone I want my tax dollars funding.
More people should know about Waco. More people should know about Dave Chipman. More people should know about the atrocities and the murders that the ATF has committed on American citizens. But I think we're going to stop beating the dead horse probably already here. Remember Waco. Remember Ruby Ridge. Remember everything that they've done. Because one day they may come for you and they will shoot your dog. So get your dog body armor. Yeah. Really good body armor.
For as long as I've been on the internet, that's been one of the common jokes is, you know, the ATF will shoot your dog. But it's only a common joke because it happens so often. Anyhow, I think just about anyone that's been listening to this for this long definitely agrees with us on the ATF, so we could probably move on.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What would be the ideology or the political stance of America Refounded?
I would say that of the political parties known to the world right now, I would say the Libertarian Party, or at least libertarian values, are the closest to ours. I have some gripes with the Libertarian Party. They keep running just awful candidates. And I think that's part of the problem is that libertarians don't get involved like Republicans or Democrats do. You know, if 90% of the libertarians that I know personally ran and got elected or not elected, but nominated by the party would be 10 times better. We keep running horrible candidates and then we wonder why we don't get anywhere in politics. We need to be more active. I think some of the people in America Refounded could run for office and be more appealing to the average person than any of the libertarian candidates that I've ever voted for.
Yeah, and I also want to bring up a caucus within the Libertarian Party, the Mises Caucus. They have been the only caucus that I've seen so far that has actually strived and done things in a really big way when it comes to the people that believe in the same things that I think everyone here believes in. Individualism, volunteerism, or however you want to pronounce it, and just liberty, dangerous freedom, and whatever it may be.
I think this caucus is what most libertarians really are. I think the Libertarian Party doesn't represent a lot of libertarians because they don't get involved, but the Mises Caucus are, when you meet the average libertarian, I think the Mises Caucus is what really represents them.
Oh, yes. I really do think that when it comes to the Libertarian Party, they have had some suck-ass candidates. That is probably the best way I can put it. We had 1% in the last election, I think, was the official percentage. Don't shoot me if I'm wrong. You can fact-check me on everything I say here. If I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. But the LP has not been representing libertarians as a whole like it should be, because they are the party of what we are, of what everything is about here, and for all libertarians in this country.
Pineapple, I think you had some frequently asked questions down that we want to get to in this.
Yeah, I had a question. What is our stance on foreign agreements such as NATO and the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for a Trans-Pacific Partnership?
I think for a lot of things like that, we need to go back to the founders' intentions. While we don't want to be the world police, I don't think there's a problem. We shouldn't be an isolationist, little walled off hole in the ground. We should be trading with other countries. We should be engaging with other countries. We shouldn't be shut off to the world. We just need to find the balance between, the United States used to be very isolationist, and part of that was, because of the times, but part of it was kind of, in my mind, stupid. We were an emerging industrial power. We could have gotten into, the world trade a lot sooner than we did. I think we suffered for it, but we ended up making any money we lost back on World War I and World War II. But that notwithstanding, we need to find the balance between the old isolationist United States and the current world police United States. I think there's a balance there where we can contribute to our partners, we can contribute to our allies without stepping in and being the big bully of the world. I don't think there's anything wrong with trading with our neighbors, with trading with other countries. I think we should be engaged, like it or not, as much as I don't. We live in a globalized economy. We should be part of that. If we're not part of it, we're going to miss it. So we can do that without being the world police.
What are America Refounded's thoughts on the actual police in the United States?
Well, that's a very complicated question. I think we could do an entire episode just on police reform, and the need thereof, and to what degree. I think it depends on the individual you ask and the organization. I understand there needs to be some kind of law enforcement, unless you want to go for a full anarchist state, which I don't believe the world is ready for. But until that point, you need some kind of law enforcement. What should the role of that law enforcement be? To me, it's, keep the peace. And keep people from aggressing on each other. And cops can't be everywhere all the time, so you are ultimately responsible for your own safety. Cops should not be extorting people. They should not be enforcing crimes about victimless crimes. if you're, you know, growing a pot plant so that you can smoke your own weed and like chill out in your backyard, that should be no business of any police officer. You have harmed no one. There is no victim in that at all. And you can't say that you are your own victim, because it's your own choice. People have their own choices. A lot of what the police do is generating revenue for the state, you know, traffic tickets, things like that. And while we need some kind of authority on the road, I think using people as extra revenue is wrong. Setting up speed traps, things like that. I think there is a big problem with police brutality in the United States. I think in certain departments, there is a racial component to that. Not all departments, obviously. You can't paint a broad brush across every single police officer in every single department, but there are definitely problem ones. What I think needs to happen is we need to end qualified immunity. If an officer screws up, take that officer himself specifically to court. We need to end police unions, because we need to end any public sector unions. You shouldn't be able to collectively bargain against the people of the United States. That's wrong. So there's some fixes there, but I think we could do an entire episode on the problem of police in the United States. That's not to say, you know, I do know personally some officers that are genuinely what I would call good cops, but they are very few and far between, and there are things we could do to change that.
Yes, yes, indeed there is. I also just want to take time away to kind of introduce who I am. If you guys don't know, I am the social media director, just to put a fancy name to it, of America Refounded. I run everything from this podcast here to our Twitter, to our TikTok, and to whatever platform we have. I am the main guy behind that. But also, everyone in our Discord server, they have a plan in here. They have a spot online. Say something or have a picture, I will tend to put it up. Many things that I've put out online, they are from here on this server. So go to our Twitter page, and I believe it'll be in the description of this video, an invite link to the Discord server where we are recording this right now. So if you would like to, and it will show us that you guys believe in what we're trying to do here, and it will help support us. Come here, come to the server, interact with the people. It's a good community here, and spread the love. Now, to kind of get into some stories about people that are here and that are in the council, as we like to call it, Luke, Kenosha.
What about it?
Let's talk about how you had to how do I put this? Pull and save the Kenosha kid's ass, even though it was inevitable.
I don't know that I ever saved Kyle's ass. The video, for those who don't know, I'm Luke and some guns, and I'm the yellow bandana guy. I think the most famous videos that I'm in are all from Kenosha. So the guy in the tan helmet and yellow bandana with stupid gay cowboy boots that you see, that would be me. There's a video of me yoinking back one of our guys, not Kyle, though he's dressed very similarly, which actually caused a lot of problems later. But there was about 20 minutes before Kyle's shooting, there was a big brawl at a gas station, and we can get into that if we'd like to. But that was my interaction with Kenosha Kyle.
All right, so Luke, one thing I want you to touch up on is let the people know what type of people we have in the America Refounded community, because one thing of mine is a lot of people out there, their initial thoughts when they see something like this is, oh, they're racist. They're a white supremacist group or what have you. So can you just explain to the people what type of group we are and the conglomerate that we are currently made up of?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think the average sees white guys with guns and they just assume Nazi, which is, in my mind, asinine, because you can take our group, for example. Right in bold in the pamphlet, first page, it says, you know, we welcome people of all races, colors, religions, creeds. It doesn't matter to me who you are. If you believe in liberty, if you believe in justice for all,
yeah,
you're 100%. Welcome. I do not have any racial biases. Amref Lib, my man, you are our black council member, obviously.
I would also like to add that we also have many people in the server that are a part of the LGBTQ community. We have a council member, well, actually, I think two or three council members that are part of the LGBTQ community, and we accept everyone here, no matter what race, ethnicity, or sexuality they may be. We accept everybody. No discrimination here, and we do not accept discrimination or racism or you name, like, we have no tolerance for that here.
One scroll through any of our social media platforms and you can pretty well dispel that myth, but I know, you know, certain groups are going to say what they're going to say no matter what the truth is.
What are America Refounded's thoughts on the Federal Reserve?
Abolish the Federal Reserve. We had, you know, over 100 years where we fought tirelessly to avoid any kind of central banking. Andrew Jackson, he was not perfect. I wouldn't even say he was good. But his dying words were, "I killed the banks." The idea of centralized banking inherently turns the entire nation into puppets. You are now owned by that bank. I would say abolish the centralized banking system. I would want us back on the gold standard. I know a lot of people who say those things suddenly die in a car crash. But no, it abolish the Federal Reserve completely. Kennedy had the right idea of getting us off the Federal Reserve. I think Congress should mint our money and not have some privatized company doing it.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about the money or the Federal Reserve, and I was about to ask, what do you think of states making their own currencies? Like, if New Hampshire wants to make a gold-backed dollar, I think they have something.
There's an old Simpsons, like one of like the older Simpsons episodes where it's like, this isn't real money, and it's printed by the Montana militia. It'll be real soon enough. No, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I want all government handled at the lowest possible level. Like, shit about roads, like, should be handled by that village that people, like, live around. I mean, ideally, libertarianism, the roads are privatized, but fuck off. But no, like, everything should be handled at the lowest possible level. So maybe money could be done state by state. The only issue you run into then is, you know, like, what the United States had back when, like, every bank currency, like, you had rampant fraud, you had huge problems. A lot of that shit is why the European Union went to the, you know, like, a standardized currency across everything, because it does make things flow better. Right? If you're going to have one nation, I can understand having a common currency. It does safeguard against inflation. It does safeguard against fraud and counterfeiting and shit like that. I understand why it's better to have a federalized currency. I generally hate anything with the word federalized in front of it, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, if Texas tomorrow was like, we no longer recognize the U.S. dollar, we have Texacoin, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not going to stop them.
So if the Federal Reserve did just end today, all today, the printing of money, what's next? What comes next? What will be the next step for Americans or Congress to do to make it to where a central banking system can never come again or come up again? And how will we go forward with the dollar?
Well, I suppose you could pass and ratify some kind of amendment banning the idea of a centralized currency. I don't know why they never did that in the first place, being as they were so very, very against it. But I suppose there'd be some kind of legal way to stop it. But what John F. Kennedy was trying to do in like the few months before he was assassinated with the banking system, and I believe he was successful. I think there are still like like people sell them and shit on eBay. There's dollars that are like not printed by the Federal Reserve from the 60s. So, I mean, I am not in the financial sector. That's not my area of expertise. I try to avoid expounding things I'm not an expert on. So I would look into how John F. Kennedy wanted to do it. I disagree with a lot of his politics. I disagree with a lot of his interventionalism. He wasn't perfect, but I think that's one of the things he had right. So I would look into how he wanted to do it, because it, when it was explained to me last, it seemed to all make sense. So I would go back to what John F. Kennedy was doing.
No shame in that. No shame in that. I was just going to ask about what are the plans for the future and where will be America refounded in the 2024 election?
In the 2024 election, ideally, we would all be voting for whoever the Libertarian candidate is.
That's probably going to be Dave Smith. I really hope.
It's a good way out. There's no way to know for sure who it's going to be, but it'll whoever the Libertarian candidate is, they probably can't be worse than a Republican or a Democrat. They're you know, the duopoly is two sides of the same shit coin. So whoever the Libertarian candidate is, that's probably who I would be pushing people to vote for. I'd like to see us, you know, out canvassing. I know we've in the past been partnered with Young Americans for Liberty here and there. I'd love to help them with canvassing for that. Probably getting, you know, in the next year, we might want to talk to them and get something set up so we have everything ready to roll ahead of time. We'll help out with canvassing for the Libertarian candidate. The biggest thing is with Jorgensen, while she didn't do nearly as good as Johnson, I didn't see people like repping. Like it seemed like every parking lot I went into, there was Bernie stickers and Biden stickers and Trump stickers everywhere. I never saw any Jorgensen stickers. So the biggest thing is whoever the Libertarian candidate ends up being, get people to show their support out in public. I mean, you know, if you see a Jorgensen sticker and you got no idea who the doctor is, you ask about her, someone says, oh yeah, I'm voting for the female candidate. Oh, there's a female running? Yeah, Dr. Jo Jorgensen. She's the Libertarian candidate. She believes in this, this, and this. And, you know, you sell your political candidate. We got to do more of that. We don't have a Fox News or a CNN. We got to be the grassroots.
We have Reason TV. So, what are the plans for the future of America Refounded?
The plan for the future is, engage in political discourse, try and salvage the political situation in the United States, get our liberties back, lobby, write letters, protest, trash pickups, acts of charity, that kind of stuff, firearms education for anyone who needs it. I know anyone in my area, I help every new gun owner, take them to the range. I dedicate all my time to helping new gun owners and people interested in it. Educate people in firearms, you know, like go, like it doesn't even have to be big stuff. Go to your local town meetings. I want everyone in the organization to be present at their village or town hall. And like, not a lot of people show up to shit like that. So if you can get you and five of your neighbors to go to your homeowners association, you can get something changed. You know, it doesn't have to be some giant presidential election. Start with the small stuff that's in your world. Start with what's inside your bubble. Go make the small changes around you, and you'll start to see big changes elsewhere.
How big do you think America Refounded will become the 2024 presidential election or the midterm elections in 2022?
It's already bigger than I kind of thought it was going to be. America Refounded used to, I kind of only ever thought it was going to be me and, you know, my followers on a couple of different platforms at the time. America Refounded was like me and my local group and then, you know, my Instagram followers. It's already a lot bigger than I ever thought it was going to be. Seeing like people that I don't actively talk to every day have our flag as their profile picture on social media blows my mind. I never thought we were even going to get to this point. So I have no idea if we're going to keep growing or if the ban hammer will finally smash us down too far for us to recover. I have no idea what's going to happen by 2024, but I would hope we keep growing at this rate. That would be absolutely astounding.
What more in the future do you think we will see coming from new chapters that pop up in new states? Because I know we have one in New Jersey there are talks of one happening and being created in Ohio.
We do have one official codified chapter in New Jersey. I think we have the people in a lot of the in a lot of other states. One of the requirements for being a chapter is you know, having a successful event. Like, I think Ohio, I don't know exactly off the top of my head to count in Ohio, but they've done their successful event. They might have enough people. Ohio could become a chapter. I don't know. If they've got the people the next time we have a town hall meeting. I can see us getting a lot more chapters. We've got a really good dispersion of people across the state, so we might see chapters in most of the states by 2024. Who's to say?
Being an admin in Ohio, I can tell you that we're definitely considering making a chapter within the next 4 or 5 months.
I love to see that. You definitely proved that you can organize and run things with the Feed the Homeless event. I mean, that was no small undertaking. So I would love to see you running a chapter in Ohio.
Thank you.
I personally think the more we grow and the more people we get from all around the country, from Arizona to New York or to New Jersey to Ohio, I would love to see more people get active, and I would love to see more people get involved in America Refounded when it comes to chapters. Create a new chapter in your state, get you, and I think the limit we set was about 10 people, and just start doing what you can to help a city or a community or the whole state. Maybe if you can get to that point, whatever it may be, let's do it.
Much in the way we view how the political situation ought to work, I think people in their area know what to do to further our goals better than, you know, the council sitting looking at things nationally. So I want to get people more into the grassroots stuff. Absolutely. What was the next question?
What are America Refounded's thoughts on the war on drugs?
I think we talked about it a little bit before, but the war on drugs has been a pathetic failure. I firmly believe that you own your body, and therefore it's completely your property. It's your decision what to put in it, what to do to it. If you want to be an idiot and drink yourself to death, or if you want to, you know, be high every day and or shoot up heroin, it's not my business. You own your body. I think we should, you know, be donating to addiction resources. I think we, as a community, have a little bit of a responsibility to help our neighbors in need who fall to addiction. But punishing people, throwing people in prison for it, A, hasn't worked, and B, to me, is immoral. It's the wrong solution, looking at the problem the wrong way. So addiction resources, absolutely, that's something we should be helping out with. But, you know, patrolling the streets and locking kids up for a gram of weed in their pocket is not the move. It has not worked. It has been a horrible failure. It has funded the cartels, which have caused untold violence. The war on drugs is a failure. It caused way more deaths than it ever could have saved. So end the war on drugs completely. End it tomorrow. Start funding addiction research, addiction therapy, things like that. But we don't need agents of the state locking kids up for weed. That's stupid.
I agree wholeheartedly. I just wanted to say real quick that some of my friends, I'm still in high school, they get in trouble because they get caught smoking or they're on something. It happens when you're doing that stuff. They get put in detention. They don't get sent to any sort of help. They don't get even suggested any sort of help. The police will come, they'll search them, and then boom, they're put in suspension, detention, or whatever it may be. There's a program that my school does where you will be fined $200 every single time if you're a repeat offender of doing substances in school. And that doesn't go straight to the school. It goes straight to the cops. It goes straight to the police station. That is wrong. That is immoral, and it should be ended completely. And there should be more help being sent to kids in high school, in middle school, to get help. But we're coming to the end here, guys. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who could come out today. Noka, Amref Lib, Luke and Some Guns, Pineapple for Liberty. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you for sitting here and taking the time and asking questions that have been frequently asked and just talking about America Refounded and liberty and whatever it may be. I just want to say thank you to all the listeners who are listening to this. Next episode, we will be on with Greg Mealy, the NJ gubernatorial candidate for New Jersey. And just thank you for coming out. Hope you have a great night, morning, evening, afternoon, or whenever you may be listening to this. I am your host, the Aussie Man, signing out.